You've heard it said you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your family. I have good news. I picked a friend who's now my family. She also happens to be the clearest prophetic spirit I know at this time in the earth, and one of the most insightful people into the things of God and the nations. And so I ask you to stand and welcome warmly to this pulpit the Lord's representative this morning, Bonnie Chung.
It's just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be with you. Mahesh told Sarah a couple of days ago, he said, you know, I'm really hankering, and that's the word that he used. I'm really hankering to see the folks up at our Father's house. It's been a while since Mahesh has been up here. Some of you may not be as familiar with us as others of you are, but like Lanny said, we have a wonderful and colorful history together. And aren't you amazed? And if you haven't thought of it recently, let's just think for a moment right now. The reality is that our lives are this unique, mysterious, living tapestry of our invisible but not intangible, our majestic and yet completely humble and intimate God at work all the time. All the time. And when I think about the relationship that we have and how God had in mind before he created the worlds that we would know one another, that we would see one another, that we would be joined together, that we would have an opportunity to walk a little piece of this mortal pathway together. There are so many things that we may take for granted as we're muddling along in our day-to-day life and responsibilities and difficulties, the troubles and trials that come. But one of the great mysteries and beautiful present aspects of the vibrant glory of God is the relationships that he gives us. And it indicates the eternal God is with us and working. When I think about when Lanny first saw Mahesh, I think it was in Baltimore. And who would have imagined, you know, a boy that was raised on green beans and dirt on the on the deep and you were grateful on the deep south side of the paper mill in Mobile, Alabama, would become not only acquaintances but dear friends and co-laborers together in the supernatural kingdom of God with a man that was an orphan born and raised in Mombasa, Kenya, that didn't come from 900 years of written family history of defenders of the Hindu faith and was the first in his family line to receive Christ. And that was by a sheer supernatural intervention that was brought about by a simple little Baptist missionary lady that was working in the middle of hot and dusty Mombasa doing little children's programs in the street. And one day, when she was thirsty, she knocked on the door of one of those houses in the neighborhood. And when the door was opened, there stood a young man of about 16. And she said, "May I have a glass of water?" And Mahesh Chavda went to the sink and got a glass of water for a little Baptist missionary lady. She stood on the threshold and drank that water down and didn't have anything to give him in return except for a tiny pocket New Testament that she had been using. And in exchange for that cup of water, she handed him the greatest story ever told. the great eternal living story that has come to each one of us in no less than that kind of a dramatic encounter. I don't care if you were sitting in church, maybe this church. I don't care if you were at home on the couch listening to a television preacher. I don't care if you were out in the woods or out on the boat, and one day something moved in your heart that was someone. Our majestic God, bringing us into the greatest epic the human race has ever known. Look around this room for a moment. Just look around. I know you've seen these faces before. You probably, you know, talked to somebody yesterday or maybe even in the foyer, and maybe some of those faces, the last time you talked to them, didn't make you necessarily so happy, and maybe some of them did. But look around this room, because in this room are sitting those who are members of a new supernatural race. I know that this community has been through a painful moment, but this old world is filled with painful moments, but I would like to say they are but moments for those of us who have received the reality that there is a Redeemer. Job saw him and he said, I know that he lives. And I know, though my body may lay down in corruption, in the end, the last day, in the last word, I will stand on the earth, the new creation, and see him face to face. You know, that's a marvel to me, because Job is recorded as being so far back there in history, way before the revelation of the Passover lamb in Moses, way before the day that John the Baptist pointed a bony finger at a man that he had only known to be his cousin. Until the day the invisible God was present as John was going about his business, and suddenly something happened in his heart and his mind, and he saw a greater truth than all he had known up to that moment. He saw a person who is the truth. He saw the person who is life. He saw the one who came to inaugurate a new kingdom, to call and commission and embrace a new people, a counterculture. The world's systems has failed. Hearts are broken. Politics are in shambles in every nation. It's like the whole of creation is groaning and begun to writhe, and the peoples of the earth are picking up this vibration of trouble, of desperation, of looking for a liberator, looking for some kind of certainty, of good news, of hope, of peace, and of love. There is a redeemed community. And in this room today, we are sitting with one another, but we are not alone. And not only are we not alone in being with one another, but this community, this little gathering, this little flock, we are members joined eternally to many, 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 many other members alive in the earth today, members of one another, a living community redeemed, of which Isaiah said that deep darkness will cover the earth. And when our moments of darkness come, there is still a light that shines. It is the presence of the Redeemer. The writer of the Hebrews told us, you have come. Not you will come. He said, you have come to another plane. You dwell now in two dimensions. One that we touch and taste and handle and see and hear and may trouble us, may challenge us, may oppose and resist us. And one wherein there is a king who rules, a king who reigns, a king anointed with the coronation of heaven, the coronation oil of heaven, the one who has overcome this world. And the Bible says he is seated and we are seated with him far above. And so for a moment today, as we are together, let us take heart and take courage. Let us take a resuscitating breath of the reality of his presence today. You know, the disciples would have been in a panic. I kind of have to laugh when I think about them. They're a lot like us. They walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, saw his miracles. Were with him doing what he did. In fact, on a certain day, he anointed them to do the stuff. And they went out and they came back rejoicing and said, Lord, even principalities and demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, that's awesome. But you know what the real thrill is? The real joy? Your name is written in heaven. There's another kingdom. And we dwell now in both dimensions according to the word. We dwell now in the presence of the one who is the judge of the whole earth. And the one who took in his loving grace all the judgments of sin and death that would have been against every sin. All the penalty for sin. And he gathered it into that great righteous cup of wrath and poured it out on one who had done no wrong. On one whose tongue had never uttered a single falsehood or word of deceit. And it was that tongue burning and parched through broken and bleeding lips on the tree of liberty. Gasped with his last breath and he said, it is finished. What was he talking about? He had started down a road of conquest. And you and I are invited in. We're drawn in. When he spoke to your heart, when he moved in your mind, when he drew you, it may have been a little inkling. It may have been a radical encounter. But he drew us all into the greatest epic, the greatest story, the most wonderful romance. And the story is still unfolding. We are a part of making history, eternal history. And I think about the disciples who walked with him and talked with him, and we're like them in a lot of ways, because even though we see his works and hear of his goodness and watch what he does, when trouble comes, we seem to easily forget who we know. But it's in those times we most need to know there is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ the Lord, precious Son of the Father, glorious living Word. When they saw him hanging there, I'm sure that suddenly every joy they'd experienced, every certainty that they had had in those years that they walked with him, from the day that he pointed them out on the seashore and called them from their fishing nets, or called Matthew up out of the tax collector's box and put together this motley crew that their own people would reject, that were ridiculed and mocked. Well, he himself was considered illegitimate, to use a nice word. Who believed Mary's story? God did this? Right. But he had invisible, not intangible, present and working. And he is still working. Because the new covenant revolutionized the human experience. And no one on earth, except those who have heard that knock on the door, when Jesus was standing there, like he stood with the woman at the well, and saying to you, to me, give me a drink. He wanted that drink for his heart that only you could give by saying, yes, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. And it's a beautiful thing, because there are things that would lay upon us as burdens, impossible to let go of, except for his glorious presence. The Comforter has come. I'm sure when the disciples saw him hanging there that day and he cried out, "It is finished," they thought it was over. All their hopes dashed. The end of all of their expectations, all their hopes and dreams, everything that he'd said. What happened? Their whole world shattered. And they ran away in fear, because already they'd been known as the troublemakers, running around with that crazy guy from Nazareth, the man from Galilee, upsetting all of the systems of the world, overturning natural laws, offending all of the religious hierarchy, challenging the political foundations. Their world shattered now. Enemies of the state, rejected by their people, outcast, mocked by their own families. And now the one they trusted in was dead. They ran away and hid. That was not the end of the story. That was not the end of the story. It had only just begun. You know, I think about the council in heaven. There's a beautiful icon that I love that was painted by a man named Rublev. And it shows the Father and the Son and the Spirit, God, three in one as the Trinity, but as persons sitting around the great council table of heaven. And in the center, there's a single cup that is filled with what appears to be wine. But we know that's a symbol of him pouring himself out. And they're talking, they're discussing. Of course, God is very prophetic. There's not anything he doesn't know. I know sometimes it feels like he ignores certain things, or he's surprised, like we're surprised, by the suddenlies that come along and the suddenlies that are not so much the good ones. The suddenlies that are storms, like the storm that suddenly arose on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was in the boat. Jesus is in your boat. Jesus is in your boat. Oh, I know. He seems to be so asleep, you're wondering why you don't hear the sound of his snoring. But he's in the boat. Because through this glorious work of redemption, he changed the course of human history and made a way that God Almighty might personally indwell each one of us. And so that's why he told those disciples, listen, I'm out of here. And they panicked. Their world was crashed. He was dead and gone. Then he appeared again. And then he said, I'm leaving. Lord! He said, no. You don't understand. It's better for you. Tell your neighbor. It's better for you. It's better for you. It's better for you. He was speaking of the better things that he was going to begin to deliver. Not just in the demonstration of himself as one man clothed in human flesh, tempted in all points like as we, and yet without sin. Finding his way. The Bible says the darling of heaven was matured in the earth by the things, the difficulties he experienced. And they grew him. They matured him. This is a mystery to me. He was God Almighty. And yet it was necessary that he endure this mortal world and everything that it throws at us. Why? Because step by sweaty step, opposition after opposition, rejection and ridicule, he was overcoming and making the way for us. Making the way for us. And so he told his disciples, it's better for you that I go away. Because when I go, the Father will send the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord of glory. Come down to dwell, not just with, but in us. In us. So let's take a moment this morning and resuscitate the reality that within us dwells the glorious one, the one who hovered over the chaos and the darkness in the beginning, the one who is there creating the atmosphere into which the word of the Father came to say, let there be light. And suddenly light came about and creation began to form. The chaos and darkness began to dance to the harmony of the love of the Father, and beautiful life-giving trees with seed in them to produce and reproduce. And still outside those trees out there in the yard, the grass, this comes from a word. The word of the Father. Into the presence of the Spirit of God resting on creation. The mission, the work, the very identity of the third person has always been for this creation. The mediator came to connect heaven and earth. And when he finished his glorious work that men saw, something began. That, like the Bible says, is like the wind. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but when you see the trees, you know the wind is there. We are those trees, planted in him. Planted in him. Hallelujah, Lord. A resuscitating breath, filled with your glory. I want you just to rest for a moment. Close your eyes for a moment. And let the Lord take you back to the day, to the moment, to the time when you first knew Jesus is alive. He is the Son of God. He is the one who came for me. He is my Redeemer. I pray there would be such a resuscitation of intimate love for you this morning, that your heart would rise afresh in newness, knowing that there is nothing in this world's dark frame that overshadows the captivating love of this glory. That assurance, that sense within that may boggle your mind, but your spirit knows and says, yes, amen. This is who I was created for. Joined eternally. There is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. The Lord, precious Lamb of God, Messiah. Do you hear that sound? Do you know what science says now? There's just a series of reports on Drudge this week about the health benefits and the new scientific studies of congregational singing. The church had the secret thousands of years ago. God gave it to Israel when they were a wandering model of, you know, ex-slaves in a wilderness with nothing except a cloud by day and a fire by night and some tents. When we sing together, it's different from singing alone. When we sing together, science now tells us that all of our hearts begin to beat in complete unison. Now do we wonder what Jesus said, where two or more of you are gathered together in my name, harmonizing, there I am in your midst. Ask anything and I'll do it. It's time for singing. It's time for singing. I went recently to look again to see where singing occurs in the great story of our Bible. Our Bible begins and ends with singing, and there's singing all the way through. There are songs about deliverance. There are songs of thanksgiving. There are songs of testimony. There are songs of judgment. Revelation, the book of Revelation, is filled with those days where God is finally pouring out righteous judgments, and the saints in glory are singing every time it happens. Singing. Songs of awakening. Awake, Deborah, sing your song. Arise, enter into the battle. And that song created, for those who could hear it, created and drew together an army who went and beyond their own strength defeated the greatest power in that day that was oppressing Israel. Through a song, it began. Miriam danced on the sea. But you know, she was just reprising her little brother's song. Because the song of Moses came forth. I would sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. Can we stand up? Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you and we acknowledge with our minds and we lend our hearts to the reality that there is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Let your lungs, let your heart join in. Forgiving us your Son. Come on. Leaving your Spirit here. Again, there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, the Anointed One, Holy One. Oh, give him thanks. Give him thanksgiving. Make it a sacrifice from your heart and from your lips. There is something supernatural that happens when we allow our spirits, our bodies, to agree with the harmony of heaven that is singing the great victory song. And he is with us. He is still with us. There's an old hymn. It was written by a man in response to the fact that his wife and his three sons had been tragically killed in a fire. He wrote a song. Do you know what it says? There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with you, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest my. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, he says. And one day he will welcome me far beyond the starry skies. I will reign with him. Let's be resuscitated. Wherever you're at today, whatever ebb or flow or storm or billow has suddenly come your way, there is a Redeemer. Going to just stay in this presence for just a moment. And let the cloud of his presence thicken around us till every heart is refreshed and remembering with assurance of his divine purpose, of his intimate love. When Moses stood before a burning bush out in the wilderness, he was running for his life, accused as being a murderer, rejected by his own people. For heaven's sakes, herding sheep for someone else. This man who had been raised and trained to be the king of the whole world, the next Pharaoh. But one day out there in that barren waste, something caught his attention. Just out of the corner of the eye, he noticed something that was not quite the same as every other day. Let's draw aside and behold him. An unusual spectacle. The darling of heaven, the king of glory, crowned with thorns, robed only in skin that by now was ripped to shreds, and he was probably hardly recognizable as a human being. To those who knew him and loved him, there he hung in apparent weakness and helplessness, darkness and evil. The machinations, the plans of man having overcome him, completely conquered and destroyed the great dream that he had spoken of. God working in the kind of mystery that only he is able to perform. It was the King of Heaven, and he was wearing a crown. Hallelujah. Go back to that place for a moment where you first knew him. Go back there. Go back there. I remember mine. I was 8 years old. It was a cold December day. I was sitting on the hard, cold wooden back pew with a little sprinkling of congregation in a little desert church, the Acapella Church of Christ in Grants, New Mexico. And the preacher did what he did every Sunday. And at the end, we did what we did every Sunday. We sang 15 or 20 refrains of Just As I Am. But on about the third or fourth chorus, something began to happen in my heart. Something I wasn't expecting. My heart began beating. Someone was present. And it was like all the people in the room blended away. And that someone was there present. And he was speaking directly to me, just like he spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, calling me by name, though I didn't hear it audibly. He stood before you in all his glory and called you by name. That moment marks this one, friends. That moment is the moment upon which every other moment of this mortal life hangs. Because that was your moment when truth was revealed and you were permanently hooked to destiny in the greatest story ever told. This chapter right now is one of those in-between chapters. And you know there's no good story that doesn't have its tragedy that rises to the climax of triumph. We are rising. I'll never forget walking down that aisle. I'm sure it wasn't any longer than this one, but I'll tell you what, it seemed like 90 miles. Because once I moved out into the aisle by that drawing of that voice and found myself walking down this aisle by myself with all eyes upon me, suddenly I was shocked into the moment. But I was halfway down the aisle. What could I do? I couldn't go back. I didn't know what to do. And one little foot kept going in front of the other. I was the lone child. I don't know if I'd ever even seen anybody go to the altar in that church. And I'll never forget, the preacher took my trembling hand and he made me confess out loud right there in front of everybody. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Yes. Do you turn from your old life? I had 8 years of old life. Yes. Do you acknowledge him before all these people? Yes. And we were dunkers. Why wait? They took me completely unprepared and opened the curtains behind the pulpit. There was a big glass window with water in it. Led me down into that freezing pool. And when I came up, I can tell you today, I did not fully know that day what had happened and how I had been inked into the history of the God of the cosmos. You have been inked in. And if there's anyone in this room today that has never had that definitive moment, however dramatic or undramatic, where the certainty of Jesus entered, this is your day to join in history. We are members of a great company, a cloud of witnesses, the Bible says. The Peters, the Pauls, the Johns, the Moseses. They are with us now. And while in this life, this body may be assaulted by sin and death, time may pass and gravity may take its toll. But the you that is you, if you've been born again, you are a member of a new supernatural race. And in you is an incorruptible. That means triumph over every corruption, including the last enemy that as mortals we all face. Because there was one immortal who clothed himself in mortality that we might also be clothed in immortality. We have all been clothed today. And so let us take a resuscitating breath. Science also says that when we sing together, our blood pressure goes down. Anybody here have a problem with blood pressure? On blood pressure medication? This is science now. I mean, I know it always takes science a while to catch up with the Spirit of God. Blood pressure goes down. Those of you who raised your hands, may I offer a prescription from the great physician? Sing! There are clinics opening now for therapy for dementia patients. My children accuse me often. My prescription, sing. There's a song in heaven. It's ongoing. It's eternal. We'll join in that song. There's a whole list of cures that science has discovered. Arthritis. Sing. Depression. Sing. Imagine a man who just lost his wife and young sons in a most unexpected, tragic suddenly. Who wrote a song, there's within my heart a melody. Hallelujah. That's supernatural. Where does that come from? It comes from the presence of I am that I am. That one who said, I'll be with you and in you. I will not leave you orphans. The Comforter will come. So we're going to sing together. And then we're going to see what God wants to do. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for your glory, Lord. We acknowledge your presence in us and with us. Precious family. In this redeemed community, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Father, we believe. Jesus, we believe. Holy Spirit, we believe. We believe in you. We believe in your church. We are part of a communion of the saints of ages. Redeemed, forgiven. And we know we have eternal life. God. Yes, Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take your neighbor's hand. Look him in the eye and say, Hallelujah. 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 He is worthy. Hallelujah. He is holy. Hallelujah. He is mighty. He is glorious. He is present. Hallelujah. He has not left us alone. Hallelujah. He is with us. Hallelujah. He has a plan and a destiny, a purpose and a vision. And every line, every paragraph, every chapter of your story and mine is written in his book. And have you read the end? Have you read the end of the story? Have you read the climax? Oh, come on. Holy. He is holy. He is holy. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. There's healing right now for stomach, intestinal, internal conditions. We thank you, Lord. Asthma, allergies. That's you or a loved one, just lift your hand. Holy, holy, holy God. Thank you, Lord. Receive a resuscitating breath this morning. You're taking his medicine. It's called singing. Take your medicine. Take your medicine. Thank you, Lord. There's healing for arthritis. Hallelujah. Foot problems of various kinds. table is open. His table is open. Come, friends, eat and drink. His table is open. His table is open. You know, our creed says that he descended after he died. He went into the lower parts of the earth. I imagine that scene. There was Moses and David, the great prophets, an innumerable host, that every time they had laid their hand on the head of a lamb, in faith, they were transmitting their sins and rolling them forward to the time, to that day, when John pointed that bony finger at him at the muddy rivers of Jordan and said, "There he is. That's the Lamb. No more rolling troubles, rolling sin forward. There he is. He's the one. The Lamb of God who takes it all away." But I imagine those ancient saints who had been looking for the Messiah. The Bible says they were waiting in expectation. And Jesus went down. I imagine the old satanic majesty with his rusted ring of the keys of bondage of death and hell, striding back and forth in front of the prison bars of death. And suddenly, a different majesty came in, still wearing the emblems of love. That other crown he wore. Still wearing the engravings of permanent redemption on his body. And in he came. I imagine Moses and David and Joshua all running to the bars and peeking through. There he is, the one we waited for. Every one of them with a promissory note in their hands for every time they put their hand on a lamb, rolling forward until the lamb appeared. And the Lamb of God strode toward the enemy of the souls of man. And he stuck out that nail-pierced hand. And he said, "I'll take those keys. Opening the bars, opening the doors, opening the gates." He looked in and he said, "Come on, boys, let's go." And up they went. Up they went. Up they went, friends. The best thing about the low place is that it is the low place. But there is a mountain. And there is a king sitting in that mountain. He took them and they went up and up and up until they got about to Jerusalem. And some of those old saints said, "Master, can we punch our ticket and stay here for a few days? I haven't been around the old home town in centuries." The Bible says that some of those saints came out of their graves when he did, and they lived on. Can you imagine? Uncle Josiah that died 15 years ago, and we buried him. We were there at the funeral. Suddenly, he shows up and knocks on the door, telling this story of the day in that place where they saw him come in. I'll tell you what, that would be revival in a church if Uncle Uncle Lucas and Uncle Josiah are now sitting on the front row every Sunday morning. Woo! Hallelujah, Lord. This is a day for resuscitation. This is a day for a deep drink of the living river of the love and resurrection glory of God. He did it all in order that we in this mortal frame might have a down payment. A down payment. A down payment. And I declare to you, for everyone who is in some kind of a financial crisis over a mortgage or a lien on your property or coming up short on the rent, if that's you, just put your hand up. If you've got some kind of a financial, you know, opposition, something pending, he gave the down payment. It was the purchase price guaranteed. He paid it all. The Bible says he became poor in want of all things that we might receive the blessing of God. And in the blessing of God is all provision. So we release now miracles, miracles, miracles of provision to release you from the burden, the anxiety of being the provider. He is our provision. Today, he is the provision. So, Lord, we thank you for your miracles. God, we thank you for your provision. Lord, we thank you for your provision. Lord, we thank you. Brian, there are going to be more and more miracles for those little ones that you care for. There's going to be more and more increase of provision for them. I see boxes and boxes of things. We call in from earth and heaven provision. God, we thank you for your glory. God, we thank you for your glory. Take your neighbor's hand and say, he is your provider. He is your provider. In the days of King Hezekiah, there was a certain day when they said, we must restore the community of God. We must restore the house of the Lord. And they came and they gave offerings. And they said, it says that they sang as they sacrificed. Our response to sacrifice is singing. It says they sang as they sacrificed. And when the offering was all taken up, it says God provided for his people and it came about suddenly. 2 Chronicles 29. Are you ready for a suddenly? Lord, we're ready for your suddenly today. Because there was a day when the Lamb of God cried out, it is finished. And suddenly the temple veil was rent. And suddenly there was an earthquake. And suddenly the rocks split. There was a day when suddenly all those ones that had looked forward in faith saw him enter into the realm of death and Hades and take the keys and open their prison doors. There was a day when suddenly up and up and up they went, those old saints and this mighty King of glory with the scars of his victor's crown. Up and up they went, and the angels on guard in the portals of glory looked down and saw this company suddenly coming. And the old saints looked up and they said, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and let this King of glory come in. Angels doing what they should do, checked his credentials. They said, who is this King of glory? These saints said, this is the Lord, strong and mighty, fresh from the battlefields of Golgotha, where he single-handedly destroyed the works of darkness, where he single-handedly met the requirements of God and man, where he single-handedly overcame the curse that lays on the whole world, where he single-handedly delivered us and gave unto us life and liberty and reconciliation with our Father. He is the King of glory. So let every head, every heart, every family be lifted up in refreshing today. There was a suddenly, when that tiny company that was left behind, a few of them had seen him in his resurrection after they saw him in his death. And he said, wait until. There are some folks in here today who are waiting until he comes. I want to say to you today, he is here. He is here. He is here. He is here. And they were all gathered together in that place called the upper room on that day. And suddenly there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Do you know in Psalm 28, when David sings the great thanksgiving for his deliverance, he enumerates all the things the enemy tried to do. He said he drew his sword and he said, I'll overtake and pursue and destroy you. And David sings this song. He says, then, O Lord, you blew with your wind and destroyed them. Suddenly there came from heaven a mighty rushing wind. And suddenly there appeared on each one. Can you just touch your neighbor's head? On each one, a flame. I see those flames. We have been given the anointing oil of the coronation of heaven's king. Because you know, when he came in, he crossed the crystal sea and he knelt before the Father and presented the tokens of his redemption. And the Father looked down on that visage, that face that he had so longed to see again in the courts of heaven, permanently marked with love's emblem. And the Father said, sit here, son. Take your place here until I make your enemies your footstool. Saints, we are part of a living history, an eternal living history. So let this knowledge infuse your heart today. Let it settle your mind for a moment. Let it refresh and refire your vision. Let it fill you with joy, unspeakable peace, not like the world can give. We're crazy people. We're all crazy people. Because we know one, believe one, commune with one who is unseen. Invisible, not intangible. May you feel his presence this morning. Let's sing one more time. Innumerable angels. judge of the whole earth is our Father. And the Redeemer of mankind, our loving brother. We worship you. Yes, you are. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for your miracles. We thank you for reviving every heart. We thank you for relieving our grieving, Lord. We thank you for your oil. Oh, we thank you for your kiss, Jesus.
Another's joys and tragedies. And together, the burden is rolled away. Together, we experience the victory. And Hollywood and Pax River. We release the sound of singing over our community from the north to the south, to the east and to the west, over the rivers, down in the valleys, along every highway, through every neighborhood. We release the sound of singing and we declare there is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ the Lord, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, holy, holy, holy one. Let the angels gather. this region. God has written an ancient word for blessing. And now we stand in every broken down place. And we call the blessing of God down. And we say, amen. For the Lord has blessed us. And he has commanded, be a blessing. Now we release. We release miracles. God, we thank you for news reports in newspapers, on television, in radios, in grocery stores, of miracles and unusual miracles, of heavenly encounter and visitation, of angels showing up at the coffee shop and in the movie theater. God, we thank you. I prophesy these saints' steps are bathed in butter. The friendship of God is over your house. He lightened your darkness. He is your lamp. He is your glory. I prophesy that men shall stop their mouths at your word. They shall wait for you like the rain. Come, come, come. You are anointed with heaven's coronation oil. Trees clap their hands when they see you coming. The Bible says creation out there is waiting breathless for you to show up. Show up. That's all it takes. Just show up. Hallelujah.
I own a ring that my wife required me to purchase. It's what they call a Mexican fire opal. And it's a translucent looking, innocuous little kind of opaque stone. Until you put it in the sunshine. And as it begins with the sun, colors begin to appear. Purples and yellows and golds and greens and blues. Because when you're in the presence of the sun, he brings forth the distinct beauty that's hidden in the thing exposed to His presence. Now, I'm fully aware that not every believer responds the same to an event like this, because some of us are teachers.
And it's got to be the orthodoxy of the word.
And I'm okay with that. Others of us are sanguines. I just want to say Jesus is wonderful. Get all of that here. And when we allow the grace gifts of God to minister to us, we are affected by His presence. I was watching several men yesterday struggle not to cry. And I was trying to be helpful, so I reminded them, there's a reason God gave you tear ducts. We are an entire being, and our faith is not merely orthodoxy in our thought life. It is the reality, the tangible reality of the God who loves us. And when we give Him opportunity to just enjoy us as we reach out to Him, wonderful things happen. He begins to speak prophetically. He begins to allow that resilient hope that is on deposit in us by the Holy Spirit to ascend. And this is the fun part. He will offend your mind. Part of my deconstruction over the decades has been allowing the Spirit in me to say, that's God, even when my mind could not comprehend what God was doing. And I have been instructed over and over again. Wonderful things have been taking place here this morning. And one of the things I can attest to is the refreshing of the Lord for those of us who have been in grief. Grief is a process, but there's an early burden. One of the downsides of actually loving other people is that you're affected by their pain. Their loss is your loss. In the same way that someone else's joy is your joy. For instance, I didn't realize they were here until a few minutes ago, but I'd like to publicly acknowledge the presence of Mr. and Mrs. Jason Alvey. I think you returned from your honeymoon in Scotland, was it? Ireland? Just this week. I want to complete the promise I made earlier that we would receive an honorarium for our speaker today. Because 3 John commands us, in the name of the Lord, that we receive those He sends and send them on their way in a manner worthy of the Lord. What I'm going to do is just let our ushers post themselves at the door. Just make your checks out to our Father's house, and you can deposit on your way out when you leave. I'm not rushing you out the door. But I would like us to just acknowledge with gratitude the work of the Lord today. And one of the common ways people do that is they say hallelujah, they say amen, they clap their hands. Whatever your expression of gratitude is to Jesus, I'd like you to just offer that up to Him right now, because the Lord has made Himself real to people here this morning. And I appreciate that. So, Father, we just want to say hallelujah. Thank You for Your mercy to us. We are grateful for the reality of Your presence on deposit in us. We thank You that You can infuse the atmosphere with the undeniable sensation to our beings of Your invisible reality. We offer You the gratitude of our heart, the thanksgiving of our experience, and the astonishment of our mind at Your great mercy and love toward us. And on behalf of all these, Lord, and those they represent, we say thank You for Your faithfulness to us and give You our eternal praise, beginning now and forevermore in Your presence. We have guests with us here today. I hope you'll greet them warmly. time guests. As you exit and to your left, there's a room out there called Hospitality. If you'll stick your head in there for a moment, we've got some folks who want to do some interchange with you, and they bribe you to come by offering you a gift as our first-time guests. So you guys can make music. These guys can keep praying. Y'all can sit or leave. I'm done.